It's Monday, the 2nd of November, 2015. Happy birthday to Tibor Police. Hello and welcome to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by Moneyball.com.au and Zealand12, who left a very nice review on iTunes. So thanks to both of our sponsors, Moneyball.com.au, obviously, and Zealand12. And if you want to be a sponsor of the podcast, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes and you can sponsor a show. You get a big shout out at the start of the show, just like Zealand12 did. If you want to put your Twitter handle in your iTunes review, I can shout that out as well. Your name, anything you want to promote in your review, I'll mention that as well. So big shout out to Zealand for sponsoring the podcast. And remember, sponsor the podcast, leave a review. It helps the show immensely and you help me out. So that's great. Moneyball also helps me out, of course, as well, and had a massive day on Moneyball today. So probably my best day on the site. I think I won every contest that I was in. But make sure you're going and checking out. If you're in Australia or New Zealand, going and checking out moneyball.com.au. Signing up using the links on my page and joining the Red Rock contests that are up there. There's some 20-team leagues. There's some head-to-heads with myself. There's also the big double-ups and the guaranteed prize pool tournaments, which you can join as well. So I do recommend that you go and do that. Now, today, it's Monday, so we're talking about the games from Sunday in the NBA. Now, if you're watching this live on YouTube, which you can do, you can always watch these shows live on YouTube and you can comment as things are happening. But what we've been noticing on YouTube is that sometimes the audio cuts in and out. And one of the listeners, I can't remember who it was, either Christos or Michael, the two brothers who listen to the show, tweeted me that every time I put up one of the graphics on the screen, the audio cuts out. So what I'm going to try to do today is going to go without the graphics. Still going to show the box scores up on the screen, but going to try and go without the graphics. And hopefully the audio stays through throughout the entire show. Well, that's what we're hoping anyway. So we'll see how that works out. Some big performances from a number of players in the NBA as we have, you know, most days when games are on. Let's start with the monstrous line of the night, and that goes to Hassan Whiteside of the Miami Heat, who had 25 points. He had 15 rebounds, 3 steals, 2 blocks, hit a massive field goal percentage as well, shot 80% from the field on his 15 attempts. And probably the most impressive thing from Whiteside is the last two games, he's played over 30 minutes after a really poor first outing for the season. He's got his minutes right up there, both over 30 in those last two games. Big performances. The risk is definitely still there with him, but he's showing that maybe he is actually the real deal. The free throws are always going to be a problem, and he is a punt free throw guy. We know that. He's going to be a real problem to deal with in roto leagues. But for head-to-head leagues, he's putting up, you know, some really, really big performances the last two games in particular. I think we're going to see a lot. I think some of the craziest stat lines we see all season will probably come from Hassan Whiteside because he has that ability. We're going to see, I would be shocked if we don't see at least one triple-double for him this season in blocks. We might only see one, but I think we'll see, you know, a 20-rebound game. I think we'll see a 10-block game from him. He's been really, really impressive the last two games, and that's great to see. The risk is still there, no doubt, but if you drafted him, you've got him now. Good luck. Enjoy it. Hope it all works out. The next one we look at is the waiver wire line of the night, and that goes to Kent Bazemore of the Atlanta Hawks. Bazemore led the Hawks in scoring. He played 28 minutes, had 20 points, hit 2 threes, had 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 3 steals, and 1 block. I don't really know what to make of Bazemore this season, and on the surface, his numbers look okay. 26 minutes a game, 11 points, almost 2 threes. 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 1.3 steals. He's hitting 87.5% of his free throws, which is not what he's been throughout his career. He was at 60% last year, 61 the year before that, 61 the year before that. So you have to think that is going to come down. But the other numbers, the steal numbers are pretty accurate as to what he's always done throughout his career. He's always been about a 1.7, 1.5, that sort of range per 36 minutes. His threes are definitely well up this year. So is his rebounding. But the other numbers, the assists, the steals, they're on par with his career numbers. But what do we make of him this season? Because he started off the season with two absolute stinkers. He started every game, but his first two games yielded 5 points combined, yielded 8 rebounds combined. The next two have yielded 39 points, 13 rebounds, 6 threes, and 3 steals. I don't really know what to make of it, but there's been a definite change in the approach that Bazemore is taking. He took 9 shot attempts in the first two games combined. The next two games, 13 and 12. So he's definitely becoming a bigger part of the offense. He's owned in just 4% of leagues at this stage. And while it's only a two-game trend, and he hasn't ever proven to be a good NBA player, there's definitely a role there for him. And adding him is not a bad move. He's going to be available in a lot of places. You might add him, and in a week you might have to drop him. But a two-game trend is enough for me at this point in the season to go, yeah, consider looking at Kent Bazemore, because his role has changed the last two games. It's definitely changing. He's getting more of these shots. And this, in some of those games that he played were without guys like Kyle Korver, but everyone played in this game, and he was still getting big shot attempts. I don't know how often that continues, but for now, I think we take the risk. We see what happens over the next week. And this is something that I've stressed a lot of the times on the podcast, is the first 2 weeks of the season, you'll probably get a lot of losses. And you can get losses. And it's something that happens with me in my teams all the time. I take a lot of losses early on, taking risks, trying to work out how my team goes, weathering through some bad starts, just trying to get the right combination, and adding Bazemore. And if he fizzles this week and it ends up in a loss, so be it. It's in the week 4 onwards that you really should start getting a solid idea of how your team is going. So taking a risk on a guy like Bazemore now, assuming you've got someone bad to drop, is worth it. Don't go and drop someone who's good and think that Bazemore is going to be a top 50 player this year. I think we'll struggle to see that sort of value return from him. But he can put up some pretty nice, well, he has been putting up some pretty nice numbers of late. And it's not 100% real, but it could be close to real. I think that's the best way that I can put it. The young gun of the night goes to Julius Randle. Marcus Smart put in a pretty compelling case early on in the day, but Randle in the last game of the night definitely takes it out. 22 and 15 for Julius Randle, 4 assists, 4 steals, 1 block. That is a huge, huge performance from Randle. And I've got a lot of people tweeting at me, have you changed your mind on Randle? I was always okay with Randle. He was going to be a decent points and rebounds guy, and he's averaging 13 and 9 in those categories. That's good. My issue was that he was going to be a bad percentage guy, and he's at 44 and 56, which is not good, clearly. And 44 is not terrible, but for a power forward, it's not good. 56 is terrible no matter what position you play. He's high in turnovers as well. And he was a guy that I didn't project to be able to get much in way of steals or blocks. He's at 0.3 blocks for a season, which is, again, not a great number for a power forward. What I wanted to really highlight with Julius Randle, you can go and grab Julius Randle. He's gonna have good games like this, but everyone going, I need to pick up Julius Randle. He's great. One game ago, he was brutal. He was atrocious in the game before against the Kings. So we look at that. He had 22 and 15. That's great. The game before, he went 3-2. So it's not like he's putting up these numbers every game. Yeah, 15 and 11 was great. 3-2 is terrible. 22 and 15 with 4 assists and 4 steals is awesome. But he's had 1 block for the season. They're his first steals for the season. He doesn't project as that sort of guy. Now, there is some value in him for 12-team leagues. But a lot of the time when I was talking about him at the start of the season, saying I don't believe in him, I don't think he's ever going to be a great player. I think that he's got limitations. I don't think he's ever going to be a great fantasy player because he's not going to be able to produce in those other categories. He's not going to add assists, steals, blocks, or good percentages on a regular basis. And that's, I think, what we're going to see from him this year. There'll definitely be games like that, but there'll be a lot of games where there's a lot of zeros in those other columns. So just be aware with Julius Randle as well that the majority of his value is going to come from points and rebounds. Now, next up, we got the dud of the night, and that is that's Kyle Korver of the Atlanta Hawks. He's had the dud of the night twice this year already. In the game against the Hornets, he played 31 minutes, had 6 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, nothing else. He didn't hit a 3. He was 3 of 9 on his shots from the field. Not a great night from Kyle Korver, and not a great start to the season from him either. He's only at 9 points a game, 1.3 threes, which is well down from the 2.9 he hit last year. 3.7 rebounds. His assists are down at 1.7. He hasn't blocked a shot yet. His percentages are still okay. He's still at 46% from the field. Hasn't attempted a free throw, even though he's a great free throw shooter. I'm not panicking on Kyle Korver. I'm not looking to drop him anywhere. I might want to throw a really buy low offer at someone who thinks that, let's phrase this a different way. At the start of the season, I was worried about Korver. I thought there was going to be a drop-off from him because of the two surgeries he's had. he's had. I don't think that it's necessarily the end for him by any stretch. I don't think that he's done in the league or anything like that. I think he's definitely going to bounce back from that, but I'm not going, yeah, he's going to be a top 50 guy and throwing that sort of value to get him in a trade. I'm going really low ball and seeing if someone bites and seeing if someone actually believes he is totally done, which I don't. I don't think that he is totally done at all. I think that there is definitely a huge drop-off potential with him, and we're seeing that already. But to think that he's totally done is not something that I'm quite ready to believe just yet with Kyle Korver. Okay, that's all the awards for the night done. Now we're going to have a look at the games in a little bit more detail. As you can see, if you're watching along, got the box scores up on the screen. The first game we'll talk about is the Atlanta Hawks and the Charlotte Hornets. The Hawks get the victory. We've touched on Bazemore. We've touched on Korver already. Millsap did what basically he's been doing for much of his career. 16-6-6, 2 threes and 2 blocks. That's great. Al Horford, 16-12 with 3 blocks. Another good performance from him. And Jeff Teague, who had that slight issue with his finger, went to the locker room for some x-rays. Ends up being fine, just a sore finger. 18-6-4 with 2 threes. So another really solid game from Jeff Teague, although the shooting wasn't brilliant from him. The bench guys, Dennis Schroeder, a bit of a fizzer, 6 points in 21 minutes. Thabo Sefolosha, you're only adding him for steals. He's a Tony Allen type player. He had another 2 of those in 18 minutes. And the biggest role that Sefolosha is probably going to play in fantasy leagues this year is if he takes minutes away from Bazemore and cuts into his production, because as I said, he's the guy who's sort of trending up at the moment. Thiago Splitter, he's just not getting the minutes at the moment. I thought he'd have a pretty big role. I might have to readjust my thinking on that. He's down at 18 minutes in this game, not having a huge look. 7-7 and 2 steals in that sort of time is a pretty decent production, but I would still like him to be able to get over 20 minutes a night, which he's not doing regularly. As for Schroeder, it looks like his minutes are going to be sort of all over the place. 21 minutes here, 6-3-3 and a steal. If he's going to look in 10-team leagues, you can't rely on that sort of production. I'd rather stream that spot or add someone else in. In 12-team leagues, I'm still holding him for a little bit, but if he's going to continually get this 18-20 minutes and not play, and Bazemore's going to get 30, then there's no point in holding on to Schroeder, unfortunately, in that sort of a format. Obviously, my thoughts with him in dynasty leagues still holds true, but it's not a situation where he's a must sort of guy. The Charlotte Hornets, Nick Batum, a guy who was I was very high on in the offseason. He put up a massive performance, actually. Here, 16-5-8, 4 threes, 2 steals, 2 blocks. I was all in on Batum. I hope you were all in on him as well. The field goal percentage is still not great, but I love what he can do across the board. He was fantastic here, and he's been really good to start this season. Kemba Walker was also good, 17-6-6 with a couple of threes and a couple of steals. Al Jefferson with 10-10 and 2 blocks. I was a bit down on him before the season. He definitely hasn't shown me that I'm wrong so far. Some okay performances, but nothing fantastic. But the guy that I really want to talk about on Charlotte is Big Marvin Williams, a guy that I cannot believe is actually playing 36 minutes a night in the NBA. Kyle McEwen tweeted out something interesting about Marvin Williams today that, yes, he's playing 36 minutes a game. The Hornets are also 0-3 with him starting. He's not a good basketball player. He's putting up really good numbers. He's averaging 12.7 points, 2.7 threes, which is never going to continue. 9 rebounds, which is, again, these numbers are so far off, you know, what he normally does. 2.3 assists, 1.3 blocks. This is not what he is. If we look at his per 36 numbers, and for the last 3 seasons, he's over 2 points ahead of what he did last year. He's a full 3 ahead of what he did. He's 2.5 rebounds ahead of what he did. He's double the blocks of what he did last season. So all these things are well above, even on a per 36 basis, what he did last season. So to think that he's not going to regress, I think you're dreaming. He's been in the league for long enough to know that this is just a real hot streak, and that's fine. Play the hot streak. If he's going to continue to get 36 minutes, he's going to be useful in standard leagues. But if the Hornets keep losing, they've got 2 young guys, Cody Zeller and Frank Kaminsky, who play the same position as Marvin Williams. At some point, you think that Williams is going to get cold, and one of those guys is going to take the minutes. So for now, you love what Marvin Williams is doing, but it just doesn't feel like it's anywhere close to being sustainable. So for that reason, you know, I'm not selling the farm to go and get him. He was great here. 15 points, 5 threes, 5 rebounds, 3 blocks. This stuff is just, it's so hard for it to continue. So don't buy into it a huge amount. Jeremy Lamb returned from his ankle injury, and Jeremy Lamb apparently is on the verge of signing a contract extension, 3 years, $21 million. He has proven absolutely zero in his NBA career. That's still a pretty decent payday for him. And I had a question come in regarding him. I'm just going to bring up who that question was from. Where are we? Rich Newell. Question for the show. Jeremy Lamb, does this mean he starts? And I assume you mean because he's about to sign the extension. No, I don't think it means he starts. I think they like PJ Hairston there for his defense. Hairston's not worth owning. He had another bad game. But Lamb coming there cuts into Jeremy Lin's time a little bit. Lin played just 21 minutes, 7 points, 4 assists, a steal, and 2 blocks. I still rather have Lin over Lamb, but this doesn't mean that we're going out and running and adding Jeremy Lamb in any sort of situation. He's going to have times where he has some decent games, but overall, I think he's going to be an underwhelming player for this season. Cody Zeller played 23 minutes off the bench. He went 6-5. Not a terrible performance, but he's restricted to deep leagues. And again, if he was getting 35 minutes that Marvin Williams is getting, he'd be a guy that I'd want in all 12 team leagues. The next game we have a look at is the San Antonio Spurs and the Boston Celtics. LaMarcus Aldridge had his best game for the Spurs: 24-14, 5 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. That's Portland LaMarcus Aldridge. So it's good to see, if you do own Aldridge, that he got back on track. Kawhi with 19-5 with a couple of steals and a block. Danny Green, his third consecutive disappointing performance, 2 of 10 shooting. The good thing is that he took 10 shots, third most on the team, 4 points only, 6 rebounds, 1 assist, 4 steals and a block. So he's still contributing in those other areas, so not a complete write-off. Danny Green's going to get dropped by some people. I'm convinced that he's going to get dropped. You have to make sure you go and add him. He's a real buy low target at the moment. On the other hand, Tony Parker has been worse than Danny Green. 6 points for Parker, 4 rebounds, 1 assist in 27 minutes. He is not a buy low target. He is not someone that I think is going to be able to turn this around. He looked bad for a fair stretch of time over the summer. Last season, he wasn't great. In a 10-team league, I'm not sure that you have to own Parker anymore. In a 12-team league, it's really dependent on the way your team's built and who's around, but he's just not providing anything of any value for this team. Well, that's not true. He's not providing anything of any value to fantasy teams at the moment. So Tony Parker, we're seeing the beginning of the end for him at this point. Manu Ginobili, he still looks pretty spry. 24 minutes for him, 13-8-3, 3 steals, 2 threes. He's a nice streaming option. He's a nice deeper league guy, but we know his minutes are going to be limited. We know that he's going to be the guy who sits the most out of all of these Spurs players. For the Boston Celtics, Marcus Smart had his best game for the season. He played a whopping 39 minutes, went 17-2-3 with 4 steals, a block, and a 3. That's the sort of potential that Smart exudes, and it's great to see him actually have that sort of performance. I think that he should be owned pretty much across the board. He's not going to get 39 minutes often, but when he does, we know that he can put up numbers, so I do like what he's able to do there. Avery Bradley had 18 points, 4-3. Off the bench, and Isaiah Thomas off the bench had 15 points in his 27 minutes. The Celtics front court is a complete stay away at this point. The starters, David Lee played 21 minutes for 2 points. Tyler Zeller, six minutes for 0 points. At the beginning of the preseason, I was all out on David Lee. I was, do not bother with this guy. He's done. He's washed up. He's not going to get playing time. And then I'm pissed off that I changed my mind, because I started to get convinced with the talk coming out of Boston from Stevens, from the beat writers there, David Lee starting in preseason, playing big minutes. We're going to run a lot through David Lee. We're going to do everything through David Lee. Look at David Lee. He looks re-energized. He's going to fit this system. I thought, okay, he's a guy, he's a late round guy that is going to play 27, 28 minutes and put up decent numbers. I wish I had stuck with my instincts, because he's been shit. He's been terrible. Brad Stevens is using the front court in a terrible way. Boston is struggling. There are going to be changes. I think I read somewhere today that they've used 46 different lineup combinations already this season. You can't own Lee. You can't own Zeller. You can't own Linick. You can't own Jurepko. You can't own Sullinger, even though he started the second half and went 10-8 with 2 threes. He's a really fantasy-friendly guy if he gets the minutes, but who knows what's going to happen. And Amir Johnson played 28 minutes, 10-4 with a block. You have to be in 14-team leagues to consider any of these guys at this point, because we just don't know what they're going to do. And it is extremely frustrating. Back to the Brad Stevens frustration. Got a question come in here from Yellow Swallow. Now, he says that for some reason the chat is disabled on YouTube. I don't know why that would be the case. But he says, do you think Love is sell high right now? I'm going to talk about Kevin Love a little bit later when we preview the Cleveland game. But no, I don't think that he is a sell high guy. I think that he is a lot more comfortable this season. I think he's going to put up similar numbers to what he has already. Yes, Kyrie will cut into it marginally when he comes back. But I think that, Love, LeBron, and Irving will coexist quite nicely this year, and Love will be similar to what he's producing now. So I'm definitely not looking to sell high on Kevin Love at this point. The next game to have a look at here, slight interruption, but that's what you can do if you're watching live on YouTube. You can tweet me questions through, and I'll have to look at getting that YouTube chat enabled so that you can comment directly that way. The next game that we have a look at is the Houston Rockets and the Miami Heat. The Rockets, they've been horrible. They lost by 20. They had a massive lead in this game at halftime and got overrun by the Heat. They were missing a lot of guys. Terrence Jones was out with that eye laceration. Dwight Howard was sitting as it was the first game of a back-to-back. Donatas Motiejunas is still out with his back problem. So they started a lineup that was James Harden, Ty Lawson, Marcus Thornton, Trevor Ariza, and Clint Capella. They started Capella at center and played him just 14 minutes. He went 10-5 with a block, and they just used basically small ball the whole rest of the game. Chuck Hayes, who was recently signed, played 9 minutes. They're the only two centers on this team, so they combined for 23 minutes. Montrezl Harrell played minutes at center. We saw, and they just went small. Like Trevor Ariza was the biggest guy on the court, apart from Capella and Harrell. So the small ball, it didn't work because they lost the game. They're gonna hope that Jones is back for the next game, and Howard should be playing as well, but a really bad start for the season for the Houston Rockets. James Harden can't get anything going. He was horrible shooting the ball. 2 of 15 for 16, 6 and 7, 3 steals and a block, but it's his shooting that's really killing you. He still got to the line a ton, hit 86% of his shots on 14 attempts. It's the field goal shooting. It is going to change. Don't panic if you own James Harden. Don't sell low or anything like that. He is going to change what he's able to do. Trevor Ariza with a solid night, 9-7-4, 3 threes, 3 steals. People do not understand that Trevor Ariza provides a lot of value. Yes, he didn't score well and he shot poorly, but 3 steals, 3 threes, 7 rebounds out of a small forward is very, very useful. Make sure that if someone drops him, you go and pick him up. And Marcus Thornton got the start, played 31 minutes out of nowhere, his first game for the year, 21-2-2, and this is what he can do. He can go out there, he can get hot, he hit 5 threes. But overall, and as Kyle said today on Twitter not long ago, that Marcus Thornton is a wet fart, and that describes exactly what he is. He's interesting when you think that something good's happening, and then it turns out to not be good in the long run. That's probably a horrible analogy for me there. But Thornton is a guy that is going to tantalize you, but how can we expect him to get this many minutes? The Rockets went with such an odd lineup in this game. If Howard and Jones are back, they're going to go back to a traditional, bigger sort of setup. Thornton might not get off the bench. Don't go and run and pick up Marcus Thornton. That's the overall message there. Ty Lawson, 4-4-4, only attempted 3 shots. I was very down on Ty Lawson coming into this season. I hope you didn't draft him in the top 40 as some people did, because he is really struggling. He's playing a stack of minutes, like 36 minutes a night, and putting up no stats at all. He was outscored by Patrick Beverley in 17 less minutes. Beverley had 9 points and 3 rebounds. You're not dropping Ty Lawson at this point, but hopefully you didn't invest a huge amount in him. Onto the Heat, Dwayne Wade had 20 points with 8 assists, a couple of threes, which is a rarity from him, a good night there. Chris Bosh, 10-8, bit disappointing from Bosh. Dragic, again, disappointing, 8-6. I mentioned before, buy low on him, but don't... Trading a guy who's about a 70-ranked player for Dragic isn't buying low. That's about his value. I'm talking the last couple of guys on your bench. He is not a top 20 guy. He is not a top 40 guy anymore. And if you're buying low, thinking that that's what you're going to get, I think you're going to be mistaken. Justice Winslow actually played 31 minutes off the bench here, went 10-3-2, 2 threes and 2 steals. His minutes have surprised me a little bit so far, but he's not really producing enough for us to pay attention to. And much like Marcus Thornton from the Rockets, Tyler Johnson had with a surprise performance, 11-8-3 with a 1-1 as well. Let's not buy too much into that. He's done basically nothing this season. And speaking of doing nothing, Gerald Green, 7 points in 1-3 in 18 minutes. I know Matt Smith was really high on grabbing him early on the season. You can cut him in pretty much all standard 10 or 12 league formats, 12 team formats. He's just not getting it done at the moment. The next game we take a look at is the Milwaukee Bucks and the Toronto Raptors. Giannis Antetokounmpo, his second big game in a row, 29-2-3 and a block, a really red-hot shooting night for him as well, went 67% from the field. And Greg Monro was equally as good in the field goal percentage department. 14, 6 and 5, a steal and 2 blocks, which if you get 2 blocks from Greg Monro, you must be pretty wrapped, because that's not something that happens all that often. Michael Carter-Williams' strong form continued, 12, 5 and 7 with 2 steals and 2 3-pointers. He actually hit all 4 of his free throws, and maybe that what we saw from him at the end of last season where he got his free throw percentage up to 73%, maybe it's a legit change. He's at 92% from the free throw line this season. He's still only at 39% from the field, but 92% from the free throw line, maybe he has worked on that. He's been a bit of a surprise, I think, to a lot of people. He's averaging 15, 5, and 7 with a 3, with 1.3 steals and 0.7 blocks. I don't think many people were thinking, everyone writes him off as being crap, and I don't think he's a great player, but he's definitely surprised me with the level of output that he's put in so far this season. Miles Plumlee had 4 blocks in 15 minutes. That's because John Henson was out. Jabari Parker's still out. Don't look at that and get too excited. Johnny O'Brien, the player who does the least with the most minutes, 27 minutes for him, 2 and 4. Chris Middleton, another stinker, 8 points and 2 rebounds. He's had one good game so far this season. We're not panicking too much on Chris Middleton. Things will turn around for him, but some owners will definitely panic again. This is the prime time to strike in that sort of situation. For the Raptors, another big night from Kyle Lowry, 15, 5 and 7 with 4 steals. Terrence Ross got hot off the bench in terms of hitting threes. He hit 3 of them, 2 steals, 11 points, a nice night there. And Patrick Patterson had his best return, hitting 4 threes for 16 points. But I'm not looking at adding Patrick Patterson in standard leagues. He's been so hit and miss, and it's very dependent on whether his shot falls as to whether he has fantasy value. Jonas Valanciunas played just 29 minutes, unfortunately, but still 19 and 8 with 2 steals. A pretty decent night from Big Jonas. And DeMar DeRozan, not quite the level of his first two games, but 15 points, 4 assists, a steal and a block is pretty handy from him, especially when he goes 54% from the field. Damari Carroll couldn't back up his big performance, but he went 14 and 3 with a couple of threes, not a bad night from him. And overall, the bench didn't provide a huge amount. The 6 assists and 3 steals from Corey Joseph was nice, but you're not relying upon that in any sort of league. The Orlando Magic and the Chicago Bulls. Victor Oladipo backed up his triple-double with a nice underrated line, I think it's fair to say. 13, 3, and 5 with 2 steals, 3 blocks, and a couple of 3-pointers. Well, Nick Vucevic, forget about Rudy Gobert. Nick Vucevic is the new Stifle Tower. 15 points for him, 11 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, 3 blocks. That's 8 blocks in the last 2 games for Vucevic. I think it took him about 2 months to get 8 blocks last season. I'm hopeful this sticks. I was predicting that it was going to stick before the season. It's looking good so far. This makes Vucevic an awesome fantasy talent. Evan Fournier, my boy Evan Fournier. I tweeted it out before. If you want seats on the Evan Fournier bandwagon, come to me. I am the conductor. I have got plenty of seats for sale. He played another 35 minutes here, 19 points with 2 threes, 5 rebounds and 2 assists, and you just have to love the minutes he's getting. His production isn't great. It doesn't mean he's a must-own player in every sort of league. But for now, in a 12-team league, if he's going to get 35 to 37 minutes a night, you definitely have to look at it, because he can score, he can assist, he can get steals, he can get threes. The 5 rebounds here is nice. I think that Evan Fournier is a guy that you look at definitely in 14-team leagues. But 12-team leagues, you want to sort of have a look at him because the minutes are there. Aaron Gordon, at least he played 25 minutes off the bench, 4.7 rebounds, but the intriguing thing with him is the 2 steals and 2 blocks, and that's where his value is going to be. So he has value in 12-team leagues. It's not for everyone. It's just if you want those numbers. And if he starts to increase his role, then obviously he's going to become a very fantasy-friendly player in that sort of situation. Toby Harris was limited in this game, but played 22 minutes, and so did Lord Alfred Payton. Payton was bothered by fouls. He had 5 fouls, but a really bad night. 4 points, 1 rebound, 3 assists, and a block, whereas Harris went 11 and 7 on some pretty pedestrian shooting. Mario Hezonja, 5 minutes, 1 rebound. There's no place for Hezonja in a 12-team league. There are much better players available at the moment. He's got stuck behind Evan Fournier. Gordon's going to get more minutes than him. He played less minutes than Shabazz Napier and CJ Watson tonight. That's probably not going to happen all that often, but you're going to be able to find better. I know the Hezonja is tantalizing. It's just not going to happen for him this season, sorry. Jimmy Butler, 14, 4, and 5 with 4 steals and 2 blocks. A huge defensive night from Jimmy Butler. Pau Gasol, in only 24 minutes, went 16 and 8. Nikola Mirotic went 16-3 with 3 threes and 2 blocks, while Joakim Noah had his best season, his highest minutes total as well, playing 24, 8-9, 4 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. That's what, if Noah can do that, that's useful in 12-team leagues. The problem is he going to be able to do that in 20 to 24 minutes a night? You'd have to think that it's doubtful, and in 10-team leagues, I don't think that owning him is a sustainable prospect to keep him going in a 10-team league. In a 12-team league, I'm probably still holding to see exactly what transpires with Noah for this season. Tony Snell in the start again, 26 minutes. He just further shows us why he's not worth owning in standard leagues. 8 points with 4 rebounds, and Doug McDermott got hot with 12 in 18 minutes off the bench. But that doesn't mean we want to get excited. Derek Rose, yuck. 6 points, but you like 7 rebounds, you like 8 assists, didn't do a lot else. It's pretty much safe to say that Derek Rose is never going to be the same player again. That's what it feels like. He'll be better than this. Someone will drop him. I'm pretty sure there'll be a person in someone that's listening. Derek Rose will get dropped in a league after the last couple of performances, and I'm definitely adding him if I'm in a punt field goal percentage situation. That's where he has value. Otherwise, he's going to hurt that category too much to really give you a lot of value. But 7 rebounds and 8 assists out of a point guard is pretty decent production, even though there's not much in other areas. So don't completely write Derek Rose off. He will get better than this. Next up, we look at the Denver Nuggets and the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Nuggets, much like the Rockets, were bothered by back injuries to their big men. Joffrey Lavernier, Nikola Jokic, and Kenneth Faried all had issues with their back during this game. Lavernier and Jokic are both considered questionable for the next game. Faried is most likely going to play, but Faried was limited to 14 minutes here. 8 points, 2 rebounds, and a couple of blocks. Lavernier, 11-7 with 2 threes and 3 assists, while Jokic went 8-4 in his 24 minutes. We need to see how this situation plays out. If Lavernier is out, Jokic plays, Jokic gets a bigger bump. Darrell Arthur's the other guy who's going to get more of the minutes at the center position, and if Faried is out as well. So there's a lot of question marks on this team. The news came out today that Yusuf Nurkic is still quite a way away from returning, so we probably won't see Nurkic return this month. If you're in a daily changes league, it's going to be really hard to hold on to Nurkic without an IR spot. If you have to wait another month, you might have to move on from him and grab someone else. But in terms of replacement from this team, we just don't know. Lavernier's obviously been getting the start, but he's dealing with his back problem now. So is Jokic. And we're not going looking at adding Darrell Arthur in any sort of spot. So let's just wait and see how this injury situation plays out for guys like Lavernier and Jokic. Emmanuel Mudiay really struggled here. 6 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, brutal shooting. He was at 21% on his 14 attempts. He's going to have nights like this. He had another 4 turnovers. Yeah, this is why he's a guy you didn't want anything to do with in 9-cat roto leagues. He's going to have value in head-to-head leagues, but he's not going to be an awesome player because there's going to be some disappointing nights like this. Gary Harris, 7 points, 4 rebounds in 27 minutes. He was a guy that I said, yeah, look, take a look at in 12-team leagues, see how it pans out. He's getting minutes, but it's not panning out. He's not doing a huge amount. So I reckon you can move on from him in most situations. And Jameer Nelson with a little cheeky performance off the bench, 13 points, 7 assists, and a couple of threes. He's someone for 12-team leagues that you might be able to stream in and out, and definitely a guy to must own in 14-team leagues. Will Barton, someone I don't really know what to do with. 15 points for him in 24 minutes, 3 rebounds, 2 steals. I'm not convinced he's a good player, but what I am convinced in is he's putting up some pretty decent performances. He's averaging 13 points a game this season, a 3, over 1.5 steals, some pretty nice numbers for Will Barton. I'm not adding him in 12-team leagues, but I am sort of paying attention to what he's doing and how it's running for him at the moment. Onto the Thunder, after their double overtime game, and they've got a pretty big stretch of games coming up as well. They said that they're not going to be limiting people or sitting them in back-to-backs, but the game was pretty much in hand here. So as we talked about on yesterday's show, for Daily Fantasy, there was that risk. Durant played 28 minutes, went 25, 2 and 5. Westbrook played 25 minutes, went 15, 9, and 8 with 3 steals and a 3. And that's still fantastic. They're still awesome. But you were paying $10,000 and $11,000 for those guys in daily fantasy, and you probably weren't happy with that return. What you would be happy with is the return that Serge Ibaka gave you. 18, 7, and 4 with 5 blocks. Great field goal percentage as well. A welcome return to form for Serge. Anyone panicking? Hopefully they're relaxing a little bit now. DJ Augustine putting up some good numbers off the bench, 14, 2, and 3 with 4 3-pointers. He's a guy that, if anything happens to Westbrook, Augustine becomes an immediate must-own, spend big chunks of fab, especially if it's a long period that Westbrook's out, because Augustine's been able to put up great numbers in any situation where he gets starts the last couple of seasons. The problem with him is he's stuck in a role where he is behind Westbrook, so he played 24 minutes here because Westbrook played 25. If Westbrook plays 35, 36, then Augustine plays 16, 17, and that's not valuable. You have to keep an eye. The deep league's great, and he's a great guy to keep an eye on and watch list and all that sort of stuff. But for now, let's leave him alone. Enes Kanter dealt with foul trouble for the second consecutive game. Still had a 12-10 double-double in 18 minutes. People are worried about Enes Kanter in the minutes. Again, it's been foul trouble. He's not going to play 30 to 34 minutes, but he's going to be productive in his 26 to 27 minutes. He's going to put up what he does. Good percentages, points and rebounds. And that's what you would have hoped from him at the start of the season, and that's what you got from him. A quick note here, Campaign played his first NBA game. He played 4 minutes, and in 4 minutes he had 3 assists and a steal. This is why myself and Mark Roberts are super high on Campaign in Dynasty Leagues. I think that it's probably going to be 3 years down the track, maybe 4 years down the track, but he is going to be a massive fantasy start at some point in the future. You'd have to be investing for the long-term future, but he is going to be a guy on a per-minute basis that is going to put up really, really good numbers. So he is a guy to keep an eye at. Keep an eye on those sort of deeper formats. The last game of the night was the Dallas Mavericks and the Los Angeles Lakers. The Dallas Mavericks had everyone return. Darren Williams was back. He played 31 minutes. 11, 5, and 8 with a 3. That's a nice performance from him, and that's late round value. Exactly where you drafted him. Fantastic. Wes Matthews was back. 26 minutes. 10 points with 3 threes. It looks like 26 minutes is going to be his minute limit for the time being. There is some back-to-backs coming up for the Mavericks this week. He's going to miss some of those, so you don't, in your weekly lineups, I wouldn't be locking Wes Matthews in that sort of situation, but yeah, he's going to be getting those 26 minutes when he plays. Chandler Parsons came back. He played 12 minutes, only played the first half, looked really rusty, 2-3-3, but it's good that he's back out there. He's likely, we don't know this, but he's likely to sit some back-to-backs this week as well. He's likely to have a minutes restriction at least for the rest of the week, but these guys, they're all back, so that's good. They're back playing, and it's going to take them maybe 3 or 4 weeks to really get going at full strength. But they're back. They're giving the Mavericks a little bit more stability. Dirk was on fire here. 25 points on only 13 field goal attempts. He hit 3 threes with 9 rebounds and a steal. A big night for Dirk. I'd actually look to sell high on Dirk if people recognize the name value. I think that he's, as Parsons, as Matthews, as Deron Williams get back up to full speed, Nowitzki might drop back a little bit in what he's able to do. That was great. But if someone still thinks that Dirk is a top 50 player, I'd be looking to move on from him there. Zaza Pachulia had his best game for the Mavericks, 16-12 with a block. You don't normally get blocks from him, but what you get is good percentages. You normally get good assists and good steals as well. He still should be owned in all 12-team leagues. I don't see why you wouldn't own him. That's, you know, 3 okay performances. He's ranked close to the top 100, I think it is. I'm just going to bring that up and have a look now. If you look on the Basketball Monster ranks, he's ranked 114th so far this season. So that's not terrible. And you would have drafted him those last couple of picks, and there's some value there. And remember, there's no centers in Dallas. There's no one else to play. Yes, Dwight Powell played 25 minutes, and I really like Dwight Powell. 8-8 with 2 blocks for Powell. But he's not a center who can play huge minutes at that position. The rest of this team, JJ Barea, Ray Felton, Devin Harris, they all played minutes in the 20s. There's value there, and there's going to be value in that situation when Matthews sits, when Parsons sits this week in those back-to-back. So look to those guys. And Mark's boyfriend, John Jenkins, was a healthy scratch in this game. He'll probably see minutes in a couple of games this week, but obviously John Jenkins is not a guy to own in 12-team leagues anymore. On to the Lakers. D'Angelo Russell, struggling again, 10 points in 27 minutes, 3 rebounds, an assist, a steal, and a block. Not a bad overall performance, but still not really getting it going. We're still obviously holding him in all leagues. Let's see how it pans out. Jordan Clarkson struggled too, 7 points, 3 assists, a steal, and 2 blocks. He'll be better than that. And Kobe with 15 points on 15 shots with 5 rebounds. You know what you're going to get from Kobe. You know you're going to get bad shooting, and that's what you come to expect. Nick Young, he cooled off a little bit, but he still gave you 2 threes. 8 points and 2 threes, nothing else, but you added Nick Young to get you some threes, and he gave them to you. Roy Hibbert had only 4 points, 8 rebounds, and a couple of blocks, an okay night from him. But the Lakers, in general, they're just a mess. They are a terrible team. There's a big chance that the Sixers don't get that draft pick, which is a top 3 protected from the Lakers, because they could be one of the worst 3 teams in the NBA this season. There's a definite chance of that. All right, that's all of the games from Sunday. Time for a little bit of a break. And then we transition to previewing Monday's games from a daily fantasy point of view. I saw you. Okay, we're back. And again, thank you to Bryce Whitney for that song, which is called Don't Go by his band, The Everlost. And I think they actually might have changed their name. But Bryce, sorry, I can't remember what the new name of your band is. But thank you. Thank you for providing us with that interlude music during the show. Let's now move on to these games for Monday. There are 7 games on the slate from a daily fantasy point of view. The first game is the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Philadelphia 76ers. Good news for Sixers fans, good news for fantasy fans. Bob Cove is back, maybe. Robert Covington is now considered probable to play with that knee issue. Let's not get too excited, especially from a daily fantasy point of view, because he's going to be on a minutes limit for at least a little bit of time to start this week off. But it's good that he's back. If anyone dropped him, absolutely, you have to grab him. He's a guy that is a top 60 sort of player for this season. So don't think that he's not going to provide value. It might not happen this week. And again, someone might grab him and then panic and think, oh, he's shitty, only played 15 minutes, and drop him again. Keep an eye on the waiver wire this week for Bob Cove to see if he gets picked up or re-dropped. That's something you need to pay attention to. But it's good news that he is considered probable for this game against the Cavs. From a daily fantasy point of view, I think that Jahlil Okafor at 5,700 is pretty good value. He's had some big games. He's had one big game. He's had one poor game. But I think that at that price, he's definitely worth a risk in a tournament. Probably not a cash game because the reliability is not there for him. But I think there's some decent value there. Hollis Thompson at 3,900 is a nice punt play in a GPP format as well. Whereas Isaiah Cannon at 5,200, Again, these guys have been up and down. I think that he can put up some okay sort of numbers. Nerlens Noel is priced at 7,500. That's probably a little bit too expensive for him. I don't think I want to really spend that sort of money on grabbing Nerlens Noel. And Jeremy Grant at 3,900 with Covington coming back, that might impact his ability to put up some numbers. So overall for the Sixers, not many guys that I love. Hollis Thompson, I think, is a good GPP guy. Jahlil Okafor is a good tournament player as well. Not many other sort of steady cash game plays though. And Covington is a price at 5,800. We're not looking at him. For the Cavs, Mo Williams' price has dropped down to 5,500 on the back of a really poor performance in his last game. But at 5,500, I think that you have to get Mo Williams out there. He can easily produce you 25 to 30 points. And if he gets you 30 points, that's plenty. That's a lot. Timofey Mozgov for 4,500 hasn't put up a 20-point fantasy performance so far. You think that he's due at some point to have one of his big games. That's what he does. He'll go out and have a huge game and then intersperse it with a lot of small ones. So a tournament option, he becomes one of those guys. And Kevin Love, who we spoke about earlier, he's priced at 7,600. He had over 50 fantasy points in his last game. I think that he's a really decent play at 7,600. I think there's a lot of value to come from Kevin Love at that sort of price point. LeBron James is at 10,600. I don't love it at that price. That feels it feels a little bit too expensive. His highest score for the season has only been 45 points, and I say only 45 like it's a small amount, but it's not enough for me to justify spending $10,000 on him. So I'd probably look elsewhere than LeBron James at that sort of price point. Overall, there's not a huge amount of value in the big names. Love, yes, I like. Mo Williams, Jahlil Okafor, and Hollis Thompson in certain situations are okay guys. Also, please let me know how the audio is on the YouTube version of this after the show, or if you're listening live. Hopefully the graphics, well, not hopefully the graphics were causing the problem. Hopefully that was what was causing the problem, so I've isolated it. I'll have to work out another way to get the graphics happening. Let me know if there are any issues. The next game, actually, the Cleveland-Philadelphia game, the Cavs are favored by 13. We've got a low total as well, so that's why there's limited value in a lot of these guys. So pay attention to that as well, and that's another reason to go easy on LeBron, because he doesn't need to go out there and play a huge amount of minutes. The Spurs and the Knicks are up next. The Spurs are favored by 7.5 points. We've got the highest or second highest total on the board for this game at 204. Third highest, sorry, 204 points. Robin Lopez at 4,500. He had his best game for the season in the last game. I like him at that sort of price point. And Danny Green for the Spurs is only at 4,100. I mentioned before, he has struggled a lot, but his last game, which was today, where he seemingly struggled, he still put up 22.7 fantasy points. And at 4,100, it's overvalue at that price. If he puts up 22 points at 4,000, you know that's well above what he needs to do. If he goes out and puts up 30 points, you're laughing at 4,000. So I think he's a really nice play, a nice guy to look at in terms of his value. There's a couple of cheap Knicks guys, which aren't too bad from a tournament perspective. 3,700 for Sasha Vujicic and 4,400 for Jerian Grant. They've both put up some decent performances this year at low salaries. Kawhi Leonard at $8,000 we know how awesome he has been this season. He's at $8,000, it's a pretty decent price. I don't want to spend the extra $300 for LaMarcus Aldridge. You've heard my thoughts on him this season. And definitely $9,700 on Carmelo Anthony with Kawhi Leonard matching up on him. And that's not a wise investment for me. Yes, Carmelo was great in the last game that the Knicks played, but going up against Kawhi Leonard is a completely different situation. Langston Galloway at 4,800. He's averaging 25 points the game this season. He had 31 in his last performance. So I think that he is a guy that we have a look at, and I think you can use him in a lot of situations, a lot of places in your lineups. I think there is some value for him. Definitely, $4,800 is not a lot of money. Look, he could bomb, but he's been really good in the three games so far. Jose Calderon hasn't, so we're obviously avoiding him. And I mentioned Tony Parker before. Had a tweet come through. I just want to mention there from Just Be Aware. He says, do you just like French players in fantasy? Gobert, Lavernier, Fournier. You forgot Nick Batum. And Kevin Seraphin. I'm big on French guys. I don't know why it is, but there are a lot of French guys who do pique my interest. So I just wanted to talk about that for a second because I thought it was an interesting tweet. Not many other real interesting plays in this game. Kristaps Porzingis at 4,800. Don't think I want to get too much involved with Kristaps at that price point, given his inconsistencies as a rookie. The next game we take a look at is the Milwaukee Bucks and the Brooklyn Nets. Not much to really look at in terms of injury there. Maybe we have a look at Myers Leonard, who's dealing with some numbness in his hand, which is affecting his shooting definitely. He's a guy that I mentioned for seasonal leagues yesterday. I'm still sticking by him. Why am I talking Myers Leonard? We're at Milwaukee, Brooklyn. Sorry, completely scratched Myers Leonard. He was in the next game. I just messed my notes up. Milwaukee, Brooklyn. No real injuries to talk about in this game. That part stays true. What we need to have a look at here, though, I think, is Jared Bayless. He's priced at $3,600. He's been getting pretty decent minutes so far this season. He was a dud in the last game they played today, but he's still got 22 minutes. So I think at $3,600 in a tournament, you look at adding him in because there can be some value there. Same as Chris Middleton. Now, he's priced at $5,900, but I know that he can be better than that. So we look at him as an interesting guy. Michael Carter-Williams at $7,000, I think, is a great play in cash games. He's been really consistent this season. He's averaging 32 fantasy points. I think he's a very interesting guy at that sort of price point. Greg Monroe at $8,300, it probably feels a little bit expensive. And Giannis Antetokounmpo at $6,500. The over-under here at 197 is not high. That makes me downgrade a few of these guys. Giannis at $6,500, not a bad price. I think that you can use Giannis in a lot of situations at that price point. Brook Lopez for the Nets has not been approaching the values he's been putting up last season. He's still priced at $7,700. His highest score this season has been 36, so he can put up those sort of numbers, but going against the Bucks, who are quite good defenders, as bad as Greg Monroe is as an individual defender, they are a pretty good team defense team. So I'm not sure that Brook Lopez is a superb investment. Jarrett Jack, on the other hand, at $6,300, I do like him. He put up 30 in the last game. That's getting close to enough value. It's not for every lineup, and he's not a guy that, yes, you must play Jarrett Jack, but he's someone that you have to consider. Starters like Johnny O'Brien, forget about it. Joe Johnson, not at his price tag. He's not going to provide enough value. And Thad Young at $5,500, I think is worth a look in a tournament play. If he gets you 30 fantasy points, he's done his job at that sort of price. Now the next game we look at is Portland and Minnesota. The Timberwolves are favored by 5.5 points here. There's a total of 202 points. Myers Leonard, as I mentioned, is probable with that wrist problem. It has been affecting his play. He's priced at 4,600 though, which I think is a pretty decent price in a tournament. He's due to have a bigger game than what he's been having, assuming he plays. So have a look at him in those sort of situations. Mason Plumlee at 5,100 is also a fairly valuable guy. And CJ McCollum at 6,400. I do like him at that price point as well. Also, Ed Davis is priced at 5,000. So he's another guy who's been averaging almost 19 fantasy points per game at 5,000. And if he goes over that, and he's had a 27-point game already at 5,000, that's okay. I'm okay with that. Damian Lillard at 8,900. Yeah, that's okay. And he's going up against the Timberwolves, who aren't the greatest of defenders. Ricky Rubio, though, is a good defender. So that might affect Damian Lillard's value there. But depending on the way you've structured the rest of your lineup, he's not a horrible big money play. For the Wolves, there's a couple of cheap options. I like Nemanja Bjelica at 3,600. That's really cheap. He doesn't need to do a huge amount to get that. And he's been getting decent minutes. He's averaging about 23 minutes a game this season. So he doesn't... He's getting minutes and he doesn't need to put up big numbers to return value at 3,600. So he's someone to have a look at. I think Shabazz Muhammad is due for a decent game, and against the Blazers, I think he's in a situation where he might get that. He's averaging 19 minutes a game this season, not putting up many points, only 10 fantasy points a game. But if you're looking in a tournament play, someone who probably won't be owned in many sort of spots, I think that he can actually have a bit of a breakout performance. Karl Anthony Towns at 6,600. He was massive in the last game. He's been huge in both games. I'm getting all over him at that sort of price. I think that he can put up some numbers that that we might not expect from rookies in general, but we've seen twice from him this season. And Ricky Rubio at 7,700. He's averaging 41.2 fantasy points so far this season. Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, not the greatest of defenders. We saw what Rubio did against a poor defense in terms of the Lakers. Maybe we see another repeat of a similar performance here. So I like him at that sort of price. Andrew Wiggins at 6,900. He's only averaging 15 fantasy points so far. He had 22 in the last game, but I'm still not putting him into any lineups. And we're obviously avoiding guys like Kevin Garnett and Tayshaun Prince because they're not good. Oklahoma City and Houston. Now, there's a couple of things we need to keep an eye on here. Specifically for Houston, we don't know if Terrence Jones is going to play. We think that Dwight Howard is going to play on the back-to-back after he set out the first game, so we can assume that Howard is going to play. We don't know if Jones is going to play. If Jones plays, he's not going to be on any sort of minutes limit due to a cut on his eye, so I don't think we need to be too concerned there. At 5,700, I think that he's worth it. Now, he hasn't put up value anywhere near what he should so far this season, only averaging 18 points, but that means I think that he won't be owned in many sort of situations, and he could be a really nice play at that price where he could comfortably get you 30 points if he has a big night. So Terrence Jones is someone to look out for. Trevor Ariza is a solid guy in cash games at 5,500. And James Harden, I still think that even the way he's been struggling, he's still averaging 37 fantasy points, and it's not much for a $10,000 salary. But it's not like he's been completely terrible. We're likely to see a big game from Harden. This is Harden against OKC. Maybe there's extra motivation here. Let's see how that works out. But I think that even though he's a $10,000 play, I don't think he's a really terrible option. In fact, I like Harden at $10,400 more than I like Durant at $10,400 and more than I like Russell Westbrook at $11,000. As good as Westbrook is, $11,000, it's a lot to spend. We'll see how that works out. But I don't think that I want to be spending that sort of cash on Westbrook. Serge Ibaka, I think, makes a great play at 6,900. He was great today. I think he's, especially if Terrence Jones is out and they're running a really small lineup, Serge Ibaka can put up some pretty decent numbers. Ty Lawson, I'm avoiding at 7,100. Clearly, he has not been good, putting up just under 20 points a game this year. That is not enough to return that $7,000 price tag. I'm avoiding Dwight as well. He's at over 8,000. That salary has to come down. He's played he's played 22 minutes this season, and he wasn't all that good in that time. It makes it hard to rely on Clint Capella and Montrezl Harrell, given we don't know what Dwight's going to do. We don't know what Terrence Jones is going to do. So I'd be avoiding both of those guys. The next game up is the Memphis Grizzlies and the Golden State Warriors. The Warriors are favored by 9 with a total of 201, so another big spread. Do we see limited minutes for Klay Thompson and Steph Curry? It doesn't really matter for Steph Curry. Even if he plays limited minutes, he's still going to put up big numbers. But his price is now up to $11,000. That's making it hard to own him, even though he's averaging 60 fantasy points this season. The Grizzlies are a slightly better defensive team than what the Pelicans are, to put it mildly. But are you willing to spend $11,000 on Steph Curry? I don't think I am. Klay Thompson's dropped to under 7,000. He's at 6,700. He hasn't been great, but he did put up 26 in the last game. Maybe the Grizzlies keep it a little bit closer despite the point spread being 9. He becomes a guy to look at. Other guys from the Warriors, I don't really think there's anyone I love. Draymond's at 7,800. That's not good value to me. We don't know if Andrew Bogut's playing with his concussion. So if he is out, Festus Ezeli at 3,500 becomes interesting, but not spectacular. But he's someone I would put in a tournament if Bogut is out. On the Grizzly side of things, Courtney Lee is priced at 3,900. He's averaging 18 points a game this year. He had 20 in the last game. He's an okay tournament option, but nothing sexy. Neither Zach Randolph, and Marc Gasol has been struggling, and he's still priced at 7,700. That's probably a little bit expensive for Marc Gasol for me in this sort of game. Mike Conley's been turning it on the last couple of games. He's at 6,600. I don't mind him as a point guard play. The last game of the night is the Phoenix Suns and the Los Angeles Clippers. The Clippers are favored by 9.5. We've got a big total of 212. For the Clippers, Chris Paul at 9,300. I still think he's pretty decent value there. He hasn't been great, but you'd think that there's something going to have to give at some point. He's going to put up some pretty decent numbers. I think that he's a decent guy. Blake Griffin's now at 10,300. These guys, Paul and Griffin, started off at the same price, basically 9,800. Paul's dropped down. Griffin's gone up. At 10,300 for Griffin, it does make it hard to own him. He's averaging 48.8 this season, and at 10,000, that's still not quite enough. So I'd probably be steering clear of him there. Again, with these $10,000 guys, Griffin, Durant, Curry, Westbrook, Harden, Harden's probably the guy that I look at. And if I want to spend that sort of money, he's the guy that I look at. DeAndre Jordan at 8,100, that's probably a little bit too expensive for me as well. Clippers guys that I like, JJ Redick at 4,900, I think is valuable. The rest of the guys, not so much. Onto the Suns, I think Markieff Morris, he's had two games where he's been in foul trouble, and that has reduced his value. He is now priced at under 6,000. I think that there is a definite value there, assuming he stays out of foul trouble. And TJ Warren is a nice tournament option at 3,700. He was brutal in the last game, but he can be a lot better than that. He has got definite potential to exceed that price point at 3,700. Brandon Knight and Eric Bledsoe have been really good the last couple of games. I'm not sure that I really think that they're going to continue it along here. Bledsoe is $9,000 more expensive than Knight, but Knight is averaging only 3 points left less. If you're looking for one of those guys, I'd probably go with Brandon Knight, given what he's been averaging so far. They've turned it on the last couple of games. All right, that is it for the daily fantasy stuff for tomorrow. What I will now bring up on the screen, and hopefully the audio doesn't cut out, is my daily fantasy plays for each position. I just gave it a little pause there, so don't think the audio cut out, just to see if I can get it to stabilize. But what this is I you can see it on the screen, is I give 3 picks at each position of a low price guy, a mid value guy, and a high price player. For point guards for tomorrow, we've got Jared Bayless at 3,600, Mo Williams at 55, and Chris Paul at 9,300. Shooting guards, Danny Green at 41, Klay Thompson at 67, and James Harden at 10,400. For small forwards, Hollis Thompson is 3,900. Chris Middleton is 5,900 and Kawhi Leonard is 8,000. Power forwards, we've got Ed Davis at 5,000, Terrence Jones at 5,700, assuming he plays, and Kevin Love at 76. And for the big men, the centers, Robin Lopez, 4,500, Jahlil Okafor, 5,700, and Greg Munro at 8,300. That's it for the daily fantasy picks for tomorrow. We are done. today, I think. Going to introduce some more listener questions in the next couple of shows. Just been a bit pressed for time recently, but we will get the questions back in the shows. And remember, if you want to be a sponsor of the podcast, just leave me a review on iTunes. And everyone who has done that over the last few days, your name is in the queue to sponsor all the episodes for the rest of this week. But leave me a review and a rating, because it does help the podcast grow. And I'm happy that every time I go and look on the iTunes charts, I see the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball podcast in the top 50 on sports. I want to be in the top 10, so let's push to see if we can get it that high. Thank you to everyone who listens and rates and reviews, everyone who's a member at Basketball Monster. Shout out to all you guys. Everyone who sees this podcast or listens to it throughout, and I've just got a tweet from Kyle here who's making me laugh. I'll get to that in a sec. Everyone who's listening through Hardwood Paroxysm as well, big thank you to all of those guys. Make sure you set your lineups for this week. Actually, you know what? That's something we should do. So if you're still listening, let's add a little bit extra of content in. I want to talk about the week ahead. If you're a basketball monster, you can check out the full article that I've got there. But quickly, if you've got Celtics players, they play two games. Don't start any of them. I don't think there's any value there. There are 17 teams that play four games. So you're going to be able to get some of those crappy guys into your bench are probably going to be better than the best Celtics guy, which is Isaiah Thomas, at two games. With so many teams playing four games, it's hard to add a player just because he's playing a lot of games, because so many guys do. What you need to do is look at who's got the best schedule. Memphis has the most interesting one, where they play Monday, Tuesday, back-to-back. They're the only team who does that, and then they play another two games during the week on a light schedule. So they're guys to have a look at. Chicago, Denver, Dallas, and Charlotte have all got pretty favorable schedules in that they play three games on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, which are low scheduled days, and then the Jazz and the Timberwolves go Thursday, Saturday as another double. So if you're looking to maximize your games, remember, for Wednesday and Friday, if you add someone on those days, they're going to sit on your bench. So there's no point looking at, I'm going to grab a free agent, but if he plays Wednesday, Friday, he's not going to play. You need to target Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, and Sunday to a degree. There's no double doubles. There's no back-to-backs over the weekend, so you can't add someone on a Friday to get Saturday, Sunday out of them. So you want to target Chicago, Denver, Dallas, Charlotte, those teams, and you can get three games out of one addition on those light scheduled days. Now, granted, there's not many options on these teams. Marvin Williams is the guy definitely in Charlotte that you want to look at with those three games. There's value there. If Jeremy Lin's around, you make sure you grab him. If Darren Williams was dropped in Dallas, you're absolutely grabbing him. Chicago, there's not much to look at there. Denver, let's wait to see how the big man situation plays out. But Joffrey Lavernier, if he is playing, he's someone we can pay attention to based on the way that the schedule plays out. I forgot to include that in the early part of the podcast, so I do apologize for that. But that there is some schedule talk there. And if you want to see the whole article that I've written up on Basketball Monster, go ahead and check that out. I'll give one shout out to one player that I think we need to mention that needs to be owned, and that's Rodney Hood. I mentioned him yesterday, and another quick shout out, he needs to be owned. The Jazz have that interesting Thursday Saturday schedule combination this week, so you'll be able to get some use out of him as well. Let's go back to all that stuff that I was just saying before. You know, subscribe, rank, review Basketball Monster, Hardwood Paroxysm, check it all out. Follow me on Twitter at Redrock. Redrock_Bball, that's my name. That's the name of my Twitter account. So make sure you're listening over, or you're following me over there and tweeting me any questions that you have. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.